you pray for
ears to hear, eyes to see. Lord, we thank you that nobody will leave here without them allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to them. And Lord, I pray that nobody that anybody here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that does not know the love of God, Father, they will experience your love this morning. Father, thank you for your freedom. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you, Father, for revealing yourself to us. Thank you for love that changes a life through your Spirit, through Jesus Christ. So, Father, we're thankful for that today. We love you. We praise you. We exalt you. We adore you. We worship you. Amen. And we can't wait to see what you're going to do in our communities in the coming days, weeks, months, and years. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated. So I wanted to say a few things, and I've said it before as far as Johnny Rolette. It doesn't matter if you like country music or not. Johnny Rolette is a minister of the gospel. Man, he's an encourager. He's a powerhouse. So doesn't matter what your flavor of music is. He's going to be here to worship God. Amen. Anytime. Doesn't matter what type of music it is. If it's honoring and worshiping God, it touches people. Amen. Amen and amen. And I also want to mention that with the men's retreat, we're going to have Pastor Freddie here. And I love Pastor Freddie and just me and Gina's relationship with him and his encouraging us. And if you have any tough guy, Pastor Freddie's he doesn't say it, but he's a fifth degree black belt. And so if you got any tough guys, invite all the tough guys. And invite all the guys into karate, whatever it takes to get men here. Pastor Freddie has an amazing testimony of what God has done in his life. And I just love how he ministers. I love how he loves people. So I want to minister, want to encourage that for the men's retreat. We're going to have a time of fellowship, lunch, praying for one another, encouraging one another. Men, amen? Yes. Amen. Isaac's going to be leading worship that morning. Isaac? Isaac's thinking, be praying for me. Isaac is going to be awesome. Nothing like seeing a group of men worship the Lord. Nothing like seeing a group of men worship God. Amen. So Lord, last week we had the road to Gilgal. The road to Gilgal. Remember, if you weren't here last week, I was talking about how the children of Israel were in the desert for how many years? Was it 40 years, if I got my math right? And how they wandered around. Can you imagine? No purpose, really. Wandering around the desert. Now and I had mentioned how they had all their needs met. They had food, right? They had the manna and the quail. Doesn't that sound good? Quail for sure. Amen. And manna, I'm sure that manna was delicious. The shoes didn't wear out. They had everything that they needed, but they were still wandering around in the desert. I had mentioned that within like a 2-week period, they could have been crossing the Jordan and going into the promised land. And I mentioned how the promised land, you know, the scripture, I'll mention that the promises of God are yes and amen for you and I. And I mentioned about crossing that, and we'll pick it up today, crossing in that Jordan, as I saw it as a type of a Christian, somebody getting born again and coming into what God has for them. And so what you don't want and I don't want is to get born again, give our lives to Christ and come into our promised land, our promises, and not take the land of what God has for us. And it's wonderful. It doesn't matter the age, right? It's this, you know, that you're renewed every day. You're by the Spirit of God. He lives in you, right? So it doesn't matter how young or how old you are. We have the same Creator of heaven and earth, right? Living in the born-again believer. So we're going to talk about, what I mentioned too, is they had everything they needed in the natural. There's people out there that have everything they need in the natural, but they don't have any purpose in Christ. They long, they're trying to feel a longing in their soul. I believe there's a generation, I mentioned, of young people in the high schools, amen, in the colleges that have seen their families and seen what's gone on around them and seen people in this country having everything that they need but peace and purpose. And see, He wanted to take that generation into the promised land. He wanted to take them in, but they refused. I mean, they didn't believe God can give them the land. They didn't believe that God was going to give them, because of the enemies in the territory, what God had promised to Abraham. Remember when he told Abraham, leave your mother and your father, and he left by faith, and he took him he was living, as a nomad. And God said, hey, I want you to walk here, I want you to walk there, I want you to walk this area because I'm giving it to you. And just like that, when you become born again and give your life to Christ, and you can have some struggles, but what I'm saying here today, when we Christ, he says, all this stuff that I'm speaking to your heart about, I want to give this to you. I want to give this to you in your life. I want you to recognize and walk in total peace. I want you to walk in my total strength. He doesn't want you to just walk in provision, but he wants you to be able to enjoy his provision with peace. He doesn't just want you talking to other people about him. He wants you to be able to talk to them with the peace of God ruling and dwelling in your heart. Amen. And so as they went across this Jordan, all the people, remember, so I'd mentioned that God said, hey, get ready. Tomorrow we're going in the promised land. And we had mentioned that it was maybe the oldest, when I did the math, the oldest individual besides Caleb and Joshua going into that promised land was about 59 years of age. Everybody else had died in the desert. And so they had the Ark of the Covenant, right, on the priest's back. And as soon as they touched the water, that says the water, it just was held up. Just God held it up and it all became dry, and they crossed over onto dry ground. You know, that Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant doesn't matter anymore, right? Sometimes it's interesting to watch shows about where is the Ark of the Covenant anymore. But the truth of the matter, the Ark of the Covenant is within you, because it says you'll be born again and that his spirit, the law of God, would dwell in you. That the spirit of God no longer dwells in a tent, no longer dwells in a building, no longer dwells in any outer thing that we could build, but dwells inside of you. We know the spirit of God covers the earth, but also if you're a born again believer, if you have Jesus as your personal savior, he dwells in each one of us. Amen? And so when those priests stepped on the foot of that bank, it separated this chat. They were able to go into the promised land. And see, this what it is we have this propitiation took place. Can you say propitiation? And so the meaning of propitiation, meaning that when they have this ark, and they had this ark, and then once a year in the Holy of Holies where the ark was kept, except when they were moving it, they would apply blood to this ark once a year. And it was called propitiation. See, it was on the top of this mercy seat. And on top of the mercy seat, it had two angels that were looking at each other. And the tips of their wings were touching one another. So that was called the mercy seat covering, with two angels, one representing the mercy of God, hallelujah, and the other one representing the righteousness of God. Over the Ark of the Covenant. Old Covenant, the blood of bulls and goats, only temporarily satisfied God's wrath against sin. You know that, right? The blood of bulls and goats never was a permanent answer to the sin problem, or to the guilt problem, or the shame problem of sin. Hebrews 10:4 says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away our sins. Amen. Only the blood of Jesus. But let me tell you this, propitiation means also it's satisfaction. Satisfaction for the debt of sin, which began as we lived our lives. And the debt just kept piling up higher and higher and higher. And so when you give your life to Jesus Christ and his blood is applied to you, propitiation has been made. The wrath of God against sin has been satisfied through the cross of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that can satisfy it. Wonderful to know that we have propitiation. And so they had this ark, and when they stepped right there, It was like a splitting, a representation of what you and I, having Jesus' blood applied to our lives, where the law of God is inside of us, the Spirit of God dwells inside of us. We cross that Jordan River into the promised land. But you know, the wonderful thing is that's just the beginning. Amen. I mean, you have a life to live, a full life, right? God's doing things in your life, so there's propitiation going into the promised land. And so as I continue to look at this as what the Lord showed me, we can see these things in the Old Testament as what Colossians 2:16 and 17 says is they're types and shadows that are brought to life by the Holy Spirit for Jesus today. Types and shadows brought to life. Colossians 2:16 and 17 says this: so let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. All these things we can do, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is in Christ. So as I begin to speak about this morning, the substance of what I'm going to show you is Jesus Christ. And a matter of fact, this substance, I believe, is what God is doing this hour and this day in His church. I believe with all my heart God is doing a new thing. And there'll be others that'll want to sit back, and because you have that every move of God, you have a group of people want to stay right where they're at. And it's not bad things. They'll stay there and say, I'm going to stay here right in the healing camp. Is God heal people? Absolutely. He delivers and heals people. I'm going to stay right here in the prosperity camp. Does God bring prosperity? Absolutely. As God begins to move, I believe, across this nation and this world, as He has to, what's that going to look like? What will that look like? The Word of God says, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of what He's doing in this generation. He's got to do something. I don't want to stay. So we're going to cross into the Jordan, so to speak. And it's just the beginning of what God's going to do in you and I and His people. Amen? Amen and amen. So as we continue today in the book of Joshua, I pray the account we read about that happened 3,500 years ago. That's a long time ago, isn't it? That you will see it as a representation of Jesus. He is the substance. And so we know the Israelites walked through the desert for 40 years. And we know in 1 Corinthians 10:5, as I just have one scripture here, Paul said these were written. It says, but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. That's what Paul was talking about right there. But this group of people, this people in Christ, I'm going to say, crossed into the promised land. They crossed from death to life. When you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, what it is you cross from death to life. Amen? You cross from an old way of doing things, an old way of thinking, old processes, how you handle things, how you'll think about things, how you'll act. That'll all be things that you used to do, but when you come into Christ, those things begin to change. 2 Corinthians 1:20 and 22 says this: for all the promises, so they've come into the promised land, right? So how does this equate to you and I this morning? We're not taking a land, are we? We're not crossing the Jordan, but I can guarantee you when you give your life to the Lord, you're coming into some promises. Because 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for the promises of God in Him are yes. You know this scripture. And in him, amen. What's amen mean? So be it. The promises of God are yes. And we respond with, so be it. Amen. I believe those promises. Now He who establishes us, who established us? Jesus. Now He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Did you know you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit? You like that vacuum sealed? I've been sealed with Holy Spirit. And so this crossing over into the Jordan, the promises of God are yes and amen. Where the people that came out of Egypt, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, they were just trying to survive. They weren't worried about promises. We know that. They were busy complaining. Remember, they had everything they had, but they continued to complain. But when this group of people cross the Jordan, it's a whole different attitude. And I'm going to start reading. We're going to get into this. Joshua chapter 5, verse 2. It says, At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make for yourself flint knives and circumcise again the sons of Israel the second time. So Joshua made himself flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Gibeath Haraloth. And if I said it wrong, I'm sorry. I just did my best. Verse 4, this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. Here's the reason. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war, died in the wilderness along the way after they came out of Egypt. For all the people who came out were circumcised out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea, right? But all the people who were born in the wilderness along the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the sons of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, until all the nation, that is the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord had sworn that he would not let them see the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So their children whom he had raised up in their place, Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them along the way. Now, we know today, by the way, that I'm talking about this circumcision, and what I'm talking about is that you and I are as a circumcision of the heart. So your righteousness, my righteousness, has nothing to do with the circumcision of the flesh, amen? When we're talking about them going over the Jordan, now we're talking about, with you and I, a circumcision that takes place in our heart when we're born again. All of a sudden, when the circumcision takes place, by the Spirit of God, you're able to hear his voice. When the circumcision takes place in your heart, you're able to see things differently than you ever saw them before. When the circumcision takes place within you, all of a sudden, some new desires begin to arise in you. All of a sudden, hope begins to arise in your life, and you start looking at maybe some of the promises of God that you never thought before of, never entered your mind, or you've forgotten all about them. All of a sudden, with that circumcision where God makes your, will see your spirit sensitive, all of a sudden, hey, wait a second. I'm crossing the Jordan. And we'll talk, I saw a lot of things go on behind me back there that weren't so good, that didn't turn out. But here there's a specific reason. He says, I want you to circumcise every individual. By the way, when you're born again, whether male or female, God circumcises your heart. Amen. This thing here didn't have to do with male nor female. This is a representation of when they came in and crossed the Jordan saying, I'm changing your life. I'm going to give you victory where you've been, where you've seen nothing but failure or failure, observed failure. I'm going to make you victorious. I'm going to make it to where I don't care what you saw in the desert. We talked about it last week. Could you imagine the trauma of what they saw in the desert? I'm just talking about those who survived. Most of them entered into the promised land without their mothers, without their fathers, without their aunts and uncles. Sometimes we don't think about that. And so they're entering and God circumcised them, but it was a representation of their hearts. How do I know? Here we go. Joshua 5, let's continue, 8 and 9. Now when they had finished circumcising all the nation, they remained in their places in the camp until they recovered. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the shame of Egypt from you. So the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. He rolled it. What happens when the Lord touches and circumcises our hearts, saves us, changes us? What the Lord means to do is to roll back any shame in your life. Did you know, I think we live in a generation, and we may not even realize it or understand it, that live under a cloud and a yoke of shame. I believe that a lot of the behavioral issues that we see in the young people today is shame, a yoke of shame. I think a lot of the things that people run to get involved in that are wicked and evil is a result of shame. Because let me tell you, shame, this is what shame is. It's reproach or scorn. It's to treat with disdain, having no value, Anybody here ever felt like you don't have much value or you're not very valuable? That right there, the root of it is shame. It's a shame. It keeps people boxed in, keeps them tied up, never free, not able to ever accomplish what God really wants them because they're bound in shame. Reproach, scorn, to treat with disdain, having no value, to taunt. Who taunts the believers of Christ Jesus? It is Satan. It's always slandering the people of God, but the root of it is, can I shame that person? Can I make that person recoil back to what they were before? This disgrace, it's an object of scorn. It has to do with specific traumas, specific memories. And they had many of them, believe me. Experiences, failures, abuse, brings shame. Notice it says the shame of Egypt. It didn't say the shame of what they had even experienced in the wilderness, so to speak, but the shame of Egypt. Not the shame of the desert experience, not the shame of the wrath of God against their own parents and family. You know, Egypt, this is interesting when I talk about this Egypt. They're coming out of Egypt. Egypt meaning is mound or fortress, stronghold, the world. Many, if not most of all the Israelites, did not see Egypt, but did not experience the atrocity of Egypt, were not born in Egypt, but they heard all about Egypt. They knew what Egypt was. Remember when Moses came on the scene and he says, hey, let my people go. First thing that Pharaoh says is, you're lazy. We're not going to provide any more straw, you lazy bums. You're going to have to, on your own, find straw to make bricks. And by the way, you're going to have to make as many bricks as you did before. Continue to shame the people. Continue to say, you're worthless. They detested the Israelites, the people of Egypt. They detested them. They were nothing but for their benefit. Used, abused, had no value. They were in chains, couldn't think for themselves, couldn't do what they want. They lived a life of complete shame. You know, what are some of the results if we talk about this in society? Are you still out there? Because it is quiet. What are some of the results of shame in a society? I was just doing some research and the effects of shame. This is pretty interesting. Let me ask you if this sounds like anything of what we deal with in today's society. Or maybe even in your own life, some of these things you may recognize. Effects of shame, anxiety. Wow. Anybody ever felt anxiety? Some of you might say, this morning. Depression. Anybody ever been in depression before? How about low self-esteem? Eating disorders. Post-traumatic stress. Is that post-traumatic stress disorder rooted and grounded in shame? People being shamed through these things. How about excessive anger? Anybody ever had a little bit of excessive anger? Rooted and grounded in shame. Feelings of loneliness and emptiness. Never measure up. Fear of might what happen. Fear of tomorrow. No peace. Restlessness. Can't be in crowds. Overcompensate to be accepted by people. Overachievers. Have to be the life of the crowd. Sit in a corner and cannot be recognized by anything. It's amazing what shame can cause people to do. What shame can sit in the corner. Don't want to be seen by anybody. Hypochondriacs, always something wrong, rooted and grounded in shame. Disorders of every type can be rooted and grounded in shame. Hey, when it says that the enemy is the slander, the accuser of the brethren, what is he trying to do? Well, we'll talk. He's trying to get people to go back into shame. I don't measure up. I can't do this. See, all these things are weapons in the assaults of Satan, or a.k.a. here, Egypt. A.k.a. Egypt. I love this scripture, 54:17. Let me read this scripture with you. This is talking about how to fight these things. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. Amen. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. I used to think that when I stand with God at the final judgment, and I say, I'll recognize that person. I've been waiting to let you have it. No, this is what this is, I believe, is talking about. Which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is what it is. That's not working anymore. I'm not carrying that shame anymore. That's been broken off of my life. You shall condemn every voice, every accusatory voice that comes against you. Everything that would come against you that would try to get you to go back in shame. You say, I'm not listening to that anymore, enemy. That is broken off of my life. This is the heritage. And then it says this. This is the heritage or the promise. These are promises. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Their righteousness. Where's your righteousness? It's from the finished work of the cross. Washes your sins away. See, the circumcision of the spirit that we're talking about that they experienced right there, it says circumcise everybody. They got born again, let's so to speak. They came in. They said, the Lord says, hey, I want to circumcise your heart. I want to do a work in your heart. The circumcision by the spirit is meant to remove all the shame, the fear, the memories of past failures, past sinful memories, past abuses one has experienced. It doesn't happen necessarily immediately, but when we understand and realize the circumcision God does in our born-again spirit, it changes everything. It's amazing what by faith, trusting what the finished work of the cross does in our lives to move us past shame. Shame is things of like past relationships, past failures. Struggles now, we don't realize that is a part of shame of the enemy saying you don't measure up. You don't quite measure up. It's going to be of way, being raised a certain way where you quite don't measure up. You'll feel like you can quite measure up to somebody's standard. You know what? That's a form of shame. Or you don't fit in this family. You don't quite fit in this family. Total shame and guilt and fear. So this is what God said. He says, I circumcised him. I came to roll off the shame. And we'll get to it. He said, and didn't say remove. He didn't say pluck. He didn't say it's going to dissolve. He said to roll off the shame. Thus the road to Gilgal. That was what it was called last week, right? See, the name Gilgal literally means hill of the circumcised. But it implies a transition from being like all the others to becoming special. And it says, especially sensitive to Yahweh. In that sense, the name also means elevated from insensitivity. I can't even say it. We may think someone who is emotional as sensitive, right? Oh, and you know, God healing a heart and doing things. We see tears. Aren't tears good? But I don't think that's what it's talking about here when it talks about this circumcision of the heart. This thing of Gilgal, where they at? This is what it's talking about. Sensitive to how much he loves you, your identity. See, a lot of people, their hearts, they don't realize, or their hearts never come alive enough to realize how much God loves them. How much he's lifted you on a pedestal as far as you're my son and you're my daughter. So what he was saying when they were born again here, they came in, the Spirit of God touched their lives. The first thing, there was a sensitivity saying, we belong to God. We are the children of Israel. We're going to take this land. Maybe somebody back in our heritage didn't, but God is showing us, no matter what happened behind us, no matter what happened yesterday, we're going to take this land because I belong to him. So there's a sensitivity that comes by the Spirit of God that says, I belong to him. Your identity is found in Christ. So their identity went from, man, we've been wandering the desert and this did not work out so good, to crossing this Jordan River, God doing a work by his Spirit and by sensitivity, the Holy Spirit saying, my identity is found in him. We can take this land. I don't care what Papa said. I don't care what Grandpa said. We're going to take this entire land for the glory of God. Number two, sensitive and a desire to walk and understand the truth. Sensitive to the truth. So sometimes, once again, we think it's just tears, but no, the Holy Spirit touching our hearts makes us sensitive to the truth. Amen. The truth here was, he's given us this land. Yeah, we're going to overcome. Yeah, I'm not going to let the shame of Egypt and walking around in the desert for 40 years affect me anymore. I don't know how many people, but you know what? You talk to enough people, you have enough friends, and you realize this underlying, believe it or not, of shame, of not measuring up, or not capable, or man, if I hadn't done that, how many of those Israelites could have come into this, cross the Jordan, and could have said, wow, based upon my experience, this isn't going to work out. We already saw Papa. We already saw what happened to Papa. Or we saw what's happened to somebody else. But when God touched their hearts, when the Spirit of God touched their hearts, it says that the shame was of Egypt was rolled off of their backs. Saints, we're coming in, I believe we're coming into a move of God where God is going to remove the shame off of young people's backs. Going to remove the shame off of backsliders' backs. There's going to be a fresh move of God of circumcising hearts, declaring who they are in Christ. And when that happens, I believe when that happens, there's going to be supernatural healings and things break out, God's Spirit breaking out. Because here's the fact, God does not want us to remain in anxiety. He doesn't want us to remain in fear. He wants to set us free from those things. And I believe God, in such a time as this, God is doing that. He has to. How can we have a move of God if the people of God are still bound up in things? It's time that God is removing the shame. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What the gospel of Jesus Christ accomplishes. See, this doesn't heal an outer body. It just doesn't provide finances. It sets the inner man free. Free. That's what God is doing and already beginning to do by His Spirit. How many people, and as people, as God is setting people free from these things, supernatural healings are going to break out. Not going to be any man just laying hands on them, because it's the truth that sets us free. It's truth that breaks the power in Jesus' name of cancer in Jesus' name. It's the truth of the gospel that breaks a thing that can keep somebody in anxiety, fear, and shame for a lifetime. The Spirit of God sets people free. Sets people free. I think sometimes that because of where the church has been for such a long time that we're scrambling to see, and I'm not saying anything about those who can meet with counselors and things like that. If counselors are pointing you towards the gospel in Christ, hallelujah. But here's the thing. A counselor can't mend your heart. He can point you to the mender. He can point you, but a counselor cannot mend your heart. But the Spirit of God, an understanding of the power of the Word of God, a fresh sensitivity to who you are in Him, a fresh sensitivity to the truth, which I just mentioned. Do we love the truth? Man, I'm learning in the last couple of months. I'm beginning to love the truth like never before. I'm beginning to love the truth. I say, I can't be the only one. There's got to be other people saying, coming into this, man, I love the truth like never before. Lord, I want you to reveal your goodness like never before. Lord, I want this inner man, the inner woman in me, to be set free like never before. I don't want to be one that wishes I could be set free. Someday I'll be set free. Lord, maybe I'll find out how to be set free. But the Spirit of God revealing us fresh sensitivity in our heart saying, I am going to be free. And then He begins through His Word of God revealing His goodness and His grace and His love for you and the shame being rolled off of your back and say, I am free. Because it is the truth that sets us free. So when they cross this Jordan River and the circumcision, which is a representation of born again, there was this enlightenment in them that says, I know the truth. I can take this land. The things that God that's doing in my life and my family, those are mine. It's no longer a wish. It's no longer a someday. It's if, Lord, you're doing that right now. I've rolled away the shame of Egypt from you, he said. I love this. Mark 16, 1 through 4. Just found another example of a stone being rolled away. Now, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" Who's going to roll away this tomb, this stone? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. See, when he rose again, he rolled away every offense. He rolled away every shame, every fear, every past mistake. See, that same stone that was an example of Christ that he rolled off the back of the Israelites when they came over the Jordan is the same stone that was rolled away when Jesus was raised from the dead. See, the gospel has the power to restore lives. See, things that we take and things that we do to try to cope, man, they're not the answer. They're just Band-Aids. But the gospel, the power of the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ sets the captive free. I don't know about you. I don't want to walk in anxiety. I don't want to be looking for the answers from the world on how to deal with anxiety. The gospel, the power of the gospel is what breaks the power of anxiety, fear, the eating disorders. All these things we do, I think, are rooted and grounded in shame. Lord, I belong to you. If you're born again and you belong to Christ, you are on the same ground as any pastor, any leader, any so-called prophet, anybody. You have the same authority and grounding. The only difference is maturity. See, when they came into the sensitivity and God touching their heart and setting them free from that shame, they were actually then able to mature, actually able to grow. They didn't take that whole land like that. And when God's working in your life and growing in you, it's not going to happen like that. Yeah, you belong to him. Yeah, you've been circumcised by the Spirit. But there's some battles coming. Here's the difference. The battle belongs to the Lord. And it even proves, right? I can't wait to read this. This is really good because this proves right here. This is Jesus Christ. You ready? We're going to drop down here. Same chapter we're going to drop down now. When it came about when Joshua was by Jericho, he raised his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or are you our enemy?" And he said, "No, rather I have come now as captain of the army of the Lord." And Joshua fell on his face to the ground and bowed down. And he said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Where's the only other place I read in the Bible where someone was told to remove the sandals off of their feet? Burning bush. I don't read anywhere in the Bible where an angel comes and he says, "Remove your feet. This is holy ground." No. They're just an angel's just a servant of God, right? And so just going to Exodus 3, 4 through 6 real quick. Exodus 3, 4 through 6 says, So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, this is the burning bush, God called out to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." I believe that captain of the armies of Lord right there when Joshua, they thought it was Jesus Christ. Absolutely. A representation of when they crossed that Jordan, they had that circumcision, that second circumcision. See, the first one was a circumcision of the flesh done through the law of Moses. The second one he did when Jesus Christ came was a circumcision done of the heart. Amen. Where God did a work in our lives to change us. And now we can actually go into the promised land and the promise of God for what he has for us to accomplish that. And sometimes when you mention things, hey, the Lord will talk to you and say, "Hey, I want you to consider letting this go or doing that." Shame is so powerful, people will just go back into shame. "I can't do that. I've been that before." Shame just heaps up. I've seen it in talking to people, struggles. I can see the shame rise. But with, when you belong to God, that shame is the voice of Satan. And here, when you belong to Jesus, amen, when you've been filled with His Spirit, you have the right to say, shut your mouth, I'm not hearing you anymore. I'm going into what God has for me, everything I have, regardless of your past, regardless of the experiences, allowing that second circumcision, being born again, amen. Now you're a Jew inwardly, amen. All right, we got some Jewish people here because that's what Paul says. Says it's not a Jew, it says not that circumcision on the outward, but he who's been circumcised in their heart. So I don't know about you, but how many children of Abraham we have here? And God said, here, I want you to walk to and fro. Everything where you walk is going to belong to you. Amen. Under the Moses, right when that law was given 50 days after coming out of the Red Sea, they didn't trust God. They were not able to do it. Amen. But when they crossed that Jordan and the power of God, representation of a born-again spirit, amen, the shame of Egypt was rolled off their back, that stone was rolled away, amen, for where Jesus was laying in that tomb for 3 days, and he rolled out, and they said, who can help us roll that stone? And they went and looked and said, it's gone. The only one that can roll that stone of shame and intimidation off your back is allowing the Lord, believing the Lord by faith and say, Lord, that's no more. I don't want no more of that. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of the desert experience. I'm tired of repeating the things in certain areas of my life over and over again. Lord, I'm going forward to take everything you have for me. Amen. Do you love him this morning? So the promised land, your promised land, I believe, is victory over every enemy of your soul. Israelites did not dislodge all the enemies instantly. This is what I think God is doing in the body of Christ today. I read something, and I'll read it as of what I believe that God is doing in His church here today. And so I'm going to go to for Corinthians 3. I'm going to read this. There's no scripture, so I'm just reading this from the Bible. And I've asked the Lord. I said, Lord, we don't see like the miracles and the in our church like we used to. Where's the miracles? Where's the giftings of the Holy Spirit? And I felt like the Lord showed me and said, wait a second, you got to be careful. That just displays the power. God's a God of power. He displays power. But God showed me something. He said, be careful. Be careful. Because I'm going to read a few scriptures real quick. Just listen. It says, this is 1 Corinthians 12. He's talking about the Corinthian church and all the giftings and power they had. Now you are Christ's body and individually parts of it. Amen. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and various kinds of tongues. And it says, all are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have the gift in healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But then it says, but earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Isn't that good? The spiritual gifts in our lives. And so I had been looking to God, that you're working in the church is just displayed on these power gifts of what we see in a service, and I'm not saying those are wrong at all. I am not saying those are wrong at all. But this is what began to catch me. The next verse. It says, but earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, and he says, and yet I'm going to show you a far better way. I feel like the Lord spoke to me because this is what was going on. We think of the Corinthian church, right? The Corinthian church. And we think of, wow, look at all the power gifts. Look at what's going on in that church. I'm going to wrap it up here, these last few things. And I have been asking God, Lord, when are we going to see these power gifts in the church again? When are we going to see these things? Because I believe in them wholeheartedly. I feel like the Lord showed this to me. Just let me read it real quick. Even though we saw all those powerful gifts in the Corinthians church, this is what Paul had to say. He's talking to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, and he says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? So I feel like the Lord spoke to my heart. He's saying, man, I'm going to do a far greater thing in this move of God. It's not going to just be a display of power. This far greater thing that if you go to the next chapter, let me just read this real quick. You know this. So you know at the end it says, look, what I just said, it says, and yet I'm going to show you a far better way. What's the far better way? Let me read these things and I'll wrap it up. If I speak with the tongue of men and angels, do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and now and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away all my possessions to charity and I surrender my body so that I may glory but do not have love, it does me no good. Love is patient. This is what's going to set this generation free. The things right now that I'm going to read, this is what's going to set people free. And I believe as God sets people free, all these other things with the power gifts, God's going to display again. But you saw what I read. He says, man, all these spiritual gifts, he says, but I can't even preach to you a mature word. There's no maturity in you. You're still babes. What it means is you got born again, and that was it. You stayed right where you're at. So all the gifting and power gifts, although powerful, you were an immature church. Or I've been thinking, Lord, if we have all this display of this power and all this stuff, that'll mean that we're a going mature church. But the Word of God says, not necessarily, not necessarily at all. But this is what's going to set this generation free. This is what sets you and I free, amen? It's this, love is patient. Who can use that in their home? No, I just want to lay hands on them repeatedly, shake the fire out of them, and shake some fire back in them. Now, there's probably a time and place for that, but love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag. It is not arrogant. It does not act disgracefully. It does not seek its own benefit. It is not provoked, does not keep an account of wrong suffered. Did you hear that one? I'm trying to hear that one. Does not keep an account of a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. And that's where we stand up against what's going on in this country, right? Keeps every confidence. Listen to this. Keeps every confidence. It believes all things. It hopes all things. Endures all things. As the worship team comes, the Lord, I think there's what God is doing in this generation is a sweeping move of God's love. See, that's what sets the inner man free. I said that's what sets the inner individual free. Anxiety, go in Jesus' name. Reveal as the God reveals the truth. Shame, whatever holds you back in shame, those things that you think about. We don't even realize that we respond to them, that we shrink down, anything that makes us shrink down. People that can't be in crowds. Your disorder is that you are carrying shame, and Jesus wants to set you free from that. The truth will set you free. It's the truth that sets you free. Unforgiveness. The love of God will set you free so that bitterness does not taint how you see everything. And see, as God sweeps in this generation that seems to hate everything, the answer is going to be the love of God. And with that love of God, I believe, is going to come the miracles of God. Amen. Sometimes I think healing is just something that's balled up inside of us. I wonder, remember I read all those different things? I wonder about some of these shames and things that we hold that actually affects our behavior. And so we'll be praying, we'll be rebuking Satan. We're rebuking the sickness, and it's actually something the love of God needs to reveal and let go. Amen. Reveal and let go. Can you stand with me this morning?
Thank you, Jesus.
and yet I'm going to show you a far better way. Lord, I pray that in this day and hour in the church that you begin to show us a far better way. Lord, a far better way. Father, I ask that, Lord, you begin to just reveal your goodness to your people. Father, where areas where shame, past mistakes, failures that just keep haunting people, or things that have been said to you, say, Lord Jesus, thank you for giving me a sensitive heart to understand your word. Thank you for growing me into exact purpose, setting me free. All the things that we deal with this stuff is only temporary. But the one that brings healing in those areas is the Spirit of God. Father, we thank you. Father, we love you. We praise you. Father, we thank you for we just release those things to you, whatever it is. Father, we thank you, stirring hearts. Stirring hearts. Father, I give that to you. You know, there's sometimes when God will reveal things to you that's like, man, I feel like I'm starting brand new.
Amen.
Been saved for many, many years. And then when I came to know about his grace and love when I was about 42 years of age, I felt like I'd been circumcised in the Spirit fresh and new.
Amen, absolutely.
I've been carrying all this self-efforts and trying to prove myself to God.
Yes.
And when I came into his grace, I am telling you, I remember a new sensitivity came to my life. I was 42 and doing all these things, and all of a sudden I walk outside, it's like the trees are greener.
Amen.
I see things clearer now. God, do you see that beautiful mountain landscape? Or before, I begin to recognize and see all God's beauty around me. As he began to slowly start breaking all those things off of me. How? By his love. By his grace. By his truth. Did you know there's nothing in our life so deep, so wounded, such a bad failure, that God can't roll that off of us? Because he opened the tomb. Jesus came out. And every sinful, shameful behavior was paid for on the cross.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Amen. See, I don't want to just be one person that speaks, just get stuck in a rut and speak about healing, speak about this. Man, Lord, I want to know where you're moving this generation.
Amen. Yes.
I believe it's right here. And yet I'm going to show you a far better way.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We bless you. We honor you this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for touching our lives. Lord, thank you for setting people free. Lord, your word says that the truth sets us free. So I pray that the word of God, the love of God, would heal and touch people's hearts, and they would dare to believe, to hold their head high. Amen. Hold their head high and say, I am not less than anything or anybody else. Amen. I can go forward in him if I want to. That's one thing, too, that the grace of God will do. It'll remove all excuses, and then we just have to say, okay, do I want to go in?
Amen.
I'm believing everybody here is saying, I'm going into everything that God has for me. If you need prayer, please, after the service, come up here. We'd love to pray with you. If you need to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, come see me. I want to pray with you. I want to introduce you to Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Amen. So, Lord, we bless you and we honor you today. How we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the road to Gilgal.
Yes.
It's that road that Jesus took with the cross. Lord, thank you for the road of Gilgal. Thank you for many people who have been in times, have been in a desert in their lives or whatever. Thank you, Lord, for crossing over into your goodness, crossing over into the promises of God, crossing over into victory. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.